he was a kid. And I've got a clip now of him, just a couple of minutes. So it's very high church, but as I said, one of the things that we pride ourselves on just is loving all types of music. If it's good music, it might be highfalutin, it might be, you know, down in the gutter rock and roll. But I just hope you appreciate this as Alla Jones and his son, who looks so much like Alla Jones when he was that age, but he and his son are singing "The Lord's My Shepherd." Have a look at this. So there's your taste of classical music for the day. I grew up in the church in Toowoomba, so I knew the Shepherd Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, quite well. But there's always one phrase that intrigued me where it says, "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want." Because as a kid, I didn't understand that there are two different ways of understanding the word want. Want can mean a lack of. And want can mean to desire something. And it's like, I could never understand why David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I don't want." Maybe I don't want him. You know, he's my shepherd, but I don't want that. And of course, I've understood it a whole lot as I've grown up. When I was in Zimbabwe recently at the conference, I was just expected to preach so many times, but in the middle of one of the sessions, they said, "We're going to have breakout sessions now." And there was a group of men, a group of women. There was a teenage session, and they said, "And there's a pastor's session." So I thought, okay, we'll go to that, and I'll just sit in and listen to what they're on about. And they said, "And now Daryl's going to talk to us about pastoring." And when I'd finished going, "Da, da, 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 da," I think the Lord led me to the 23rd Psalm. This is some stuff that I've done in leadership before, and it just shows that as David was a great leader of his people, his breeding ground, in a sense, for that was his work as a shepherd boy, tending sheep. And the 23rd Psalm is this masterpiece of David understanding the lessons that he learnt as a shepherd, the lessons that how God treated him and his people, and the lessons that he then could apply in leading his people as the great king. So I just thought, okay, that'll preach. So over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to do a little mini-series on the 23rd Psalm. And we'll do one part this week and one part the next week. David lived about 1,000 years before Jesus. He was the youngest of 8 sons. And according to the Bible, in his growing up, he spent a lot of time in the fields looking after the sheep. And one of the greatest descriptions of David that the Bible gives, that he's called a man after God's own heart. And that's a wonderful description of someone like that. He was the second, but probably the greatest king in the nation of Israel. And despite all the things that David had going for him, he also had a lot of faults. He might have been a man after God's own heart, but his eyes led him astray at times after beautiful women. He was a great king, and yet a terrible father. He often didn't discipline his kids like they deserved. He brought nations under subjection to his reign, but couldn't control his own children. He brought peace to the nation of Israel, but there was a lot of conflict in his own family. And yet, David really, in many ways, sets a benchmark for how leaders are to lead. And then there's this wonderful description, as I said, in the psalm. But one psalm that David didn't write, but someone wrote about him, a guy called Asaph, and he wrote about David in Psalm 78. If you have your notes, follow along, or as I said, it's on the app. Just check out the app and it'll all be there. So in Psalm 78:70, it says, "He chose David, God chose David his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands he led them." So Asaph saw this as well, and maybe as they've talked, David talked about how many lessons that he'd learned as a shepherd, and how that applied to him shepherding his people. And Asaph says of David those two, I think, really key things in verse 72 there. How David led was with those two things, with integrity of heart and with skillful hands. And it's a really interesting combination because sometimes the two don't necessarily go together. Some people have a great heart. You know, you say to people, their heart's in the right place, which often means the rest of them is not in the right place. You know, their heart's in the right place, but they can't do stuff. You know, they just haven't got the skills. Or, again, on the other extreme, if it's just one or the other, some people are incredibly gifted. They're skilled. They're just, they can do stuff. They're outgoing. They're the life of the party. Just that you wouldn't trust them as far as you could throw them. There's something in their heart that is just not right. There's a mixed something in their spirit there. And the beautiful thing about David is that those two things come together. He had integrity of heart and skillful of hands. Not just making things, but what he did well. And that's a great attribute that leaders need to have, because some have one or the other. And as I said, what Asaph says there is that God took David from tending sheep to tending people. He took him from shepherding sheep to shepherding people. And the lessons that David learned in the paddock is the lessons that he saw God teaching him in leading his people. So let's pick up the first three verses of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. So that puts it a slightly different way. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. So what I want to do is just pick up each particular phrase and dig into it and see what we can learn from it. So David says firstly, the Lord is my shepherd. And I love that personal nature that David understands about God's leadership of him. He's not just God or even our God or the big guy. The shepherd is personal. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He might be their shepherd. He might be your shepherd. It's more than even saying it's a simile or a metaphor that God treats his people like a shepherd does. David personalizes. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm the sheep and he's my shepherd. And it's great to emphasize this in having a personal relationship with God. This is not just a distant thing. This is not just we're all in this together, although that part of it is important as well. But David is speaking about the importance of having a personal relationship with God that he really enjoys. And as I said, David knew how to shepherd. He knew what it took to look after his own sheep. And in our day in Australia, although the drought's decimated a lot of the flocks, we think of these mass numbers of sheep. But in the Middle Eastern ones, they didn't have as many of those. And the sheep were much smaller in number that the shepherd was in charge of. And he knew all the sheep. I showed a video a couple of years ago of the shepherd calling the sheep. And the sheep actually know the voice of the shepherd. And it's this wonderful thing that God knows us personally, even though there's a lot of us. God knows us. He knows us personally. And it's important to personalize our relationship with God, not just saying he's the shepherd of the whole flock. He knows you as well. And then there's the phrase that I used to have trouble with. I shall not be in want, or I lack nothing. And the meaning I get from that is that the shepherd wants the sheep to be completely satisfied with the management of their life. And that's David affirming, the way God manages me, the way God looks after me. You know, he's not saying I don't want him to be my shepherd. He's saying I don't lack anything. My needs have been supplied. And I'm totally satisfied with the way God manages my life. He's the shepherd for whom no trouble is too great to prepare the way for the sheep to be healthy. Philip Keller was the guy who wrote a classic book on the 23rd Psalm called The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. He's passed away now. He's a Canadian guy, I think he was. He grew up in East Africa, an outdoors boy, and did a lot of work with sheep. And he says there's so much, and again, as I've studied it, there's so much richness of the language that David uses in Psalm 23 that is very much an agricultural type of language. That there's so much of what David learned that he can apply that the way he sees God treats him. And basically, Philip Keller says that shepherds take it personally because there's this personal relationship that the shepherd has with the sheep. The shepherd, he said, you know, took it personally when the sheep started looking for things beyond their own paddock. He said, "I once owned a ewe whose conduct exactly typified this sort of person. She was one of the most attractive sheep that ever belonged to me." Now, I'm not sure how a sheep can be attractive, really, but, you know, just go with him. That's what he said. "She bore sturdy lambs that matured rapidly. But in spite of all these attractive attributes, she had one pronounced fault. She was restless, discontented." We called her a fence crawler. Now, that's the most beautiful sheep I could come up with looking on Google. So there you just go with that. Just imagine that's the beautiful sheep. So he called her Mrs. Gadabout because she was always going walkabout, always going there. He says, "This one ewe produced more problems for me than almost all of the rest of the flock combined. No matter what field we were in, no matter what pasture or sheep the sheep were in, she would search all day long along the fences or the shoreline, we live near the sea, looking for loopholes that she could crawl through and start to feed on the other side. And it wasn't that she lacked pasturage. My fields were my joy and my delight. No sheep in the district had better grazing. But this looking beyond the fences became an ingrained habit." And then he says this: "She was simply never contented with things as they were." Now, it would have been bad enough she was the only one that did this. It was sufficient problem to find her and bring her back. But the further point was that she taught her lambs the same tricks. They simply followed her example and were soon as skilled at escaping as their mother. Even worse, however, was the example she set the other sheep. And in a short time, she began to lead others through the same holes and over the same dangerous paths down to the sea. And this is the opposite of what David is saying in the psalm. This sheep is saying, "I am not completely satisfied with the way my shepherd is treating me." What does Isaiah say? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And if you're into musicals, Cats, T.S. Eliot's Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats, you know, Rum Tum Tugger, he's always on the wrong side of every door. You may have had pets like that. You know, when they're in, they want to go out. When they're out, they want to go in. They're never satisfied with where they're at. They're down, they want to get up. They're up, they want to get down. And it's the opposite of what David's saying. Some Christians are like this, always crawling along the fence line, always dissatisfied, always thinking that the grass over there must be much better and that what God has for you is not good enough, so there must be something somewhere else that God has for you. Yeah, God's provided for my needs, but I want to check out what's out there as well. What's in the world that God has kept from me? And yet David is affirming this wonderful truth. God's treatment of me is good. I am completely satisfied with what he's given me. And like David felt, like a shepherd feels, God takes it personally, I think, when we start to go away from his paddock and look for things for fulfillment, for love, for joy, for protection from other places except for him. And some of that practical provision that God gives is in the next two verses where he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." One of the things, again, Philip Keller says in his book, the most basic thing, is that sheep need a shepherd. That they can't just survive on their own. They need a shepherd to help them get food and water, because left in their own devices, they will choose the wrong way every time. You know, it's not as if one sheep doesn't say, "Hey, Sean, you get," you know, because sheep are called Sean, of course. Sean, head off there to that back paddock and, you know, scope that out for us. And, you know, Fred, will you check out that other water source over there? You know, sheep don't do that. Unless the shepherd is providing those things for the sheep, they can't get that themselves. And we've got to be careful that we don't become so self-sufficient. I mean, we're great, we're capable, there's everything like that. But ultimately, it's God who supplies our needs. And I love that phrase, He makes me lie down. And again, I think probably growing up, this is a phrase I didn't understand. Because I'm imagining a shepherd sort of doing the flying suplex wrestling move on a sheep, you know. Lie down, sheep, you know. Getting in a headlock and getting him down. He makes me lie down. Of course, that's like a forced rest. But have you ever tried to do something like that? Have you ever tried to give a dog a bath that doesn't want a bath? Have a look at this. I can stay here all day if I have to. I am not having a bath. So I don't think it actually means he makes me lie down. Because can you imagine even a shepherd going around to each individual sheep? He makes me lie down. Oh, he's up already. And the word in the Hebrew, rabas, means he causes me to rest. He establishes the conditions. He enables the atmosphere to be right for me to be in a state of mind that enables me to want to slow down, to not looking for the feed in all the wrong places. The sheep are completely and fully satisfied. There's food in abundance. There's safety. Everything's right. The conditions are there. And the shepherd creates the conditions that enables the sheep to want to rest. Again, Philip Keller says, the strange thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it's almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they're free of all fear. Because of their social behaviour within a flock, the sheep will not lie down unless they're free from friction with others of their kind. If tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. Only when free of these pests can they relax. And lastly, the sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. They must be free from hunger. So it's significant that to rest there must be a definite sense of freedom from fear, tension, aggravations, and hunger. So sheep really need help to stay alive. They can't do it by themselves. And David understood that for his sheep. God does that for his people. I shared that with the pastors in Zimbabwe, that it's not about forcing people to do what you think they need to do. It's about creating the right conditions in order for people to be able to grow. For there to be free of friction, to be unity in a church. We talk about the difference between building a fence or digging a well. We can't stop people, in a sense, from leaving. But if we create a well and create the conditions and encourage people to feed on the Word of God, people will grow. So all those things that David is saying about him and his lessons as a shepherd, God's lessons to him, apply to us as well. And it's this idea of food for the soul. In Psalm 34, he says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." And to know that experience personally is so important. And unlike that Mrs. Gadabout sheep that's always looking for things in the other places, to taste and see that the Lord is good, rather than Mrs. Gadabout being prepared to look what they've got in their own paddock, she was always looking somewhere else. And sometimes we just need to take the bite and say, the Lord is good. We're resisting that. We're fighting against what God has for us. And sometimes it's just a matter of submission to say, God, what you have for me is sufficient. I'll take that. The other thing he talks about there in the passage is about getting beside still waters. And again, Philip Keller says that when sheep become thirsty, they get so restless and uncomfortable that they'll almost drink anything, whether it's healthy or unhealthy water. And the other problem they have is that they're scared of the running water, the real fast-moving streams. So it scares them. They could lose their balance, they could drown. So the shepherd's job is to make sure the sheep get plenty of rest and food and water, to drink deeply, to know those times where we need to take that in. And we need to be aware of it in our own lives, in our own soul, how we're going, to drink deeply from what God has prepared for us. So I guess to summarize that verse, to summarize that part of that psalm, it says this, that the shepherd creates the conditions that causes the sheep to be able to rest and eat and drink. And there's another part, you know, almost opposite, for restore my soul. Again, a very much a sheep tending term. He restores my soul. So when the sheep is jumping about, he rests them. But then when they get too flat there, he restores them. And again, to restore means to turn back over, to retrieve, to pull in again, to refresh, to rescue. David admitted in another psalm that he wrote, in Psalm 42, verse 11, it says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Saviour and my God." And it's like David here has this conversation with himself. Do you ever talk to yourself? You get good answers that way. You have a conversation with yourself, and he's having this conversation with himself about how he's going. We can say that our face is downcast, but again, this is not the meaning of the word. This is one of these ones where it's just so rich with agricultural language. A cast down sheep or a cast sheep is one that's gone out of balance, one that has tipped over, one that has got so comfortable, it looks like that. It looks funny. We got dash hounds, so their center of gravity is already really low to the ground, and they like one of them like scratching a back, you know, turns totally over and does the, oh, this is good. But they can always wriggle and move and get back up on their feet again. But I'm told when sheep get like that, they just stay like that. And there can be a fair bit of weight, you know, a good merino has what, 20 kilos of wool on them or something. Their centre of balance is such, and they've got the skinny legs. And they don't even bother. They're just there. That's what cast down means. And David knew at times in his life he was downcast. Not just sad, he was tipped over. Something had happened, his centre of balance got out of whack, and he was just down. And life does that to us. But David says in Psalm 23, "He restores my soul. He picks me up on my feet again." And sometimes that restoration takes a little while, because when we get rolled over, you know, the sheep like to sleep in that, get a bit of a hollow, you know, a nice grassy field, a bit of a hollow they can go in, but they move around too much, they tip over. And if you've been upside down for a while, I'm pretty bad with my balance. So, you know, three turns around and I'm all woozy. And sheep that are like that for a long time, they can take a while to pick back up. So the shepherd gently restores, which means put back on their feet again. And again, that's the thing with those sheep, is that they can't do that themselves. The restoration needs to be slow and steady just to make sure they get their balance and their equilibrium again. And as I said, if we go to the next slide, only the shepherd is able to restore a downcast sheep. Sheep can't right themselves. They can't pick themselves back up on their feet. And as much as we try sometimes without God's help, we're never going to be able to do that as well. And sometimes we get like that because we want to get cozy, we want to get comfortable. That's what the sheep want to do. They want to lie down. They want to, you know, you've got your gad about looking here, there and everywhere. But when you lie down, the danger of lying down is you don't want to get up or you get tipped up. You've got stuff that's weighing you down. The wool gets too heavy and matted. And when a sheep's doing this too much, Philip Keller says they need to be shorn because they're just not in the right balance situation. That's why the writer of the Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 12, since we have such a great crowd, huge crowd of men and women of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off everything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves too tightly around our feet and trip us up. Let us run with patience the particular race that God has before us. And sometimes the weight of things that maybe we've not confessed or just the stuff that we're carrying is the stuff that will tip us over or trip us up. And we need to go to God to get those things right. So what can you get rid of for the Lord to restore your soul? What are the things that are tripping you up? What are the things that have got you out of balance? Unfortunately, when a sheep's upside down, the shepherd's not the only one looking out for them. Because the predators are out there too. And because the sheep are pretty passive when it comes to tipping over, at least certain breeds, then the predators look for those sort of sheep because they just offer no resistance and they've got their inners just on display. So the shepherd's really got to keep an eye out for sheep that are doing that. And again, that's why the Apostle Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Because your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And when we get off our feet, when we get tipped over, when life has done that to us, we've got to be careful that that's the time that Satan attacks us. So there's so much richness, I think, in that psalm. As we wrap up and go into communion now, I just hope that there's something in there as you read it again, and it's often read at funerals. But it's much more than just to give us comfort at death. There's so much richness in there. As we pop that up on the screen again, let's read that one more time with those meanings there. The Lord is my shepherd. He might be other people's shepherd. He might be the shepherd of the whole church. But is he your shepherd? Do you have a personal relationship with God? He says, I shall not be in want. Are you completely satisfied with God's management of your life? Or are you looking elsewhere? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He's not forcing you. He's not forcing you to eat or drink, but he's trying to create the conditions by which will be the healthiest thing for you. You don't need to fear because he's with you. You're in an atmosphere that you can take in the good things of God. But don't be looking for it in the wrong place. Are there times where you've been tipped upside down? Life